Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, you can. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Really fun morning we have working here. Delighted to have you along for the ride. Hashtag crew was with me. Hembo's still off. I don't know where he is, what he's doing, or why. But we do have Bubba and Cam, and we'll have some fun here. We'll have Fortinball in this hour with all your gambling tips. We'll have who you got. And I got a college football scoop for you coming up here. The college football action is tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to this game. USC and Washington, presented by Dr. Pepper. It'll be here tomorrow night on most of these ESPN radio stations, 7 Eastern, and on the ESPN app. In the meantime,
the scoop.
The scoop. I think that the villagers are coming after Jim Harbaugh. It's over. It has already ended. They just don't know it yet. The Jim Harbaugh tenure at Michigan is definitely ending. What I believe will happen is that he will make it through this season. It would be extraordinary if it ends in a national championship, him being carried off the field by his players as a national champion. But there's no way in the world it continues after that. This is not a value judgment on my part. I really don't understand the sign-stealing rules in college football. What I have come to understand, though, is that they take them very seriously. And Michigan has obviously, flagrantly broken them. They can do an investigation, and they should do an investigation. Of course, this should not be handled without a full investigation being done. But let's just make sure we're very clear on what has and has not happened. We talked about this earlier in the week, but Bubba, it's worth reminding everyone. The allegations were that someone who looks like Connor Stallions, the Michigan staffer, was on the Central Michigan sideline staring across the field, videotaping signals with a pair of sunglasses. Again, it was a night game. No one else is wearing sunglasses. With a pair of sunglasses that at one point in the video, you can see a little blue light come on. So he's allegedly videotaping them. But the point that he's videotaping them is not the key to this. The key is that he would have no reason to be on that sideline if something nefarious weren't going on. You don't have to be a great journalist. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out the following. If that wasn't Connor Stallions, that person would have been identified immediately. If that was a person from Central Michigan who belonged where he was standing, they would have told us that instantly. No, you guys, that's not Connor Stallions. It's Fred Thomas, and he's our inside linebackers coach, and that's why he's standing there. He just looks like Connor Stallions, and that would have been the end of that conversation. But that's not what's happened. Central Michigan has said they're going to get to the bottom of it, and the Big Ten and the NCAA, in theory, are doing investigations. Well, no investigation is required. If they can't tell you who that guy is, then he's definitely Connor Stallions. And if it's gotten to that point, it's over. Over. Now, I like Jim Harbaugh a lot. I want to make that clear. I've mentioned this many times. I've known him 30 years. He's an excellent football coach. I believe he will wind up coaching an NFL team next year. Bubba, you just brought up a fascinating possibility. Brandon Staley is doing an absolutely terrible job coaching the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a ridiculously talented team with a brilliantly talented young quarterback. What do you think should happen right now in the interest of what's best for as many people as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the Jets have a good defense, but, I mean, if the Staley loses again, and really right now their only win so far against Chicago, Las Vegas, and Minnesota, so they haven't even beaten anyone good, any good team they've lost. So if they lose this week against the Jets and Zach Wilson, I think it's just fire Staley now, and Harbaugh should probably just leave Michigan, get it over with, and go to coach the Chargers for the rest of the season, salvage the season, and they could probably get the Chargers to the playoff.
I do believe Jim Harbaugh will be the next coach of the Chargers. I do believe that. I don't think it'll be next Tuesday. But I do think it will happen. I've told you this before. I do not believe I'm speaking out of school when I say this, because I was with Jim at a social event. We just ran into each other at a funeral, and we were not talking about any jobs. I want to make this 1,000% clear. We were just chatting about football, because that's what he talks about. Jim, football oozes from his pores. That's all he knows about. It's all he thinks about. It's all he talks about. It's all he cares about. So we're just talking about football. And I was bringing up how many great young quarterbacks there are in the game, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, et cetera, et cetera. And he just started raving about Justin Herbert. He went on and on about how great he thinks Herbert is. Again, the context was exclusively that, not I'd love to coach him someday, none of that. But I can tell you, Harbaugh, who is a great quarterbacks coach, loves Herbert. So I'm putting two and two together there, and I don't think I'm coming up with five. I can't see any way Brandon Staley is still the coach next year. I can't see any way that Jim is still the coach at Michigan next year. So that feels like a match. To your point, could it happen Tuesday?
Probably won't happen midseason, but I agree. No, it just seems like all signs point to it. There's just no reason. It doesn't even make any sense, honestly, to have the defensive coach with Herbert. Like, just put an offensive guy with him, and it just makes so much sense. They're just wasting away Herbert right now. Harbaugh just makes so much sense, especially with him leaving Michigan. It's probably like a 99% chance he'll be coaching the Chargers next year.
Do you know the Chargers' defensive stats? They're pretty great. 24th in points allowed, 32nd in pass defense.
Sometimes, and again, Brandon Staley was a defensive coordinator with the Rams, and that's how he got that job. Sometimes those numbers can be a little skewed, because if you have a high-flying offense and you're putting up huge numbers and teams have to try and match you and all that, but they lose the games is the point. So it would be one thing if they're giving up, but like Kansas City used to give up a disproportionate number of yards, and you would say, well, it's because they score 38 points in every game, so teams are passing, and that will skew the stats a little. But that's not what's going on here. Their defense just sucks, and they've got really good players on it, and they've got, in theory, a defensive-minded coach. They had a 31-0 lead in the first half of a playoff game last year and lost. If you're a defensive coach and you lose a 31-point lead in a playoff game, I don't know how he survived that. I will never understand how he survived that. Well, actually, I can. It is the abject cheapness of the family that owns the team. They're not going to pay a guy while they're already paying another guy. And Sean Payton wanted that job desperately for the same reason that I would think Jim would, because of the quarterback, and they wouldn't pay him. So the Walmart people came in and said, here, Sean, here's $1 trillion, and now he's coaching the Broncos.
Meanwhile, the Raiders are paying McDaniels for 4 more years because they gave him a 6-year contract.
And how long are they paying Gruden?
Yeah, I mean, that's
well,
yeah,
where did that
still
now?
Another
I think, I mean,
six
that's,
or seven?
That's quite, yeah, because who knows what's happening with the legal situation, but they're theoretically paying Gruden, McDaniels, and their next coach, and probably Mayock, Ziegler, and their next GM too.
And have won like 9 games to show for
it. That's a good setup they got cooking over there.
Oh, they're a mess. We talked about that the other day, and they just don't know what they're doing. Like that's what really frustrates me, not just in sports, but in life. Healthy disagreement is the best thing in the world. So Cam and Bubba, their job is to put together the show. Because I am working for the 2 hours before we actually come on, there are huge advantages and huge disadvantages to this show, my beloved radio show, coming right after the TV show. The advantage is that I'm as on top of everything that is going on as you can possibly be. I just spent 2 hours talking about it, so I am revved up, ready to go, warmed up, and know exactly which stuff has been working and which stuff has not. The disadvantage is that I can't be a part of the planning of it because I'm planning a TV show and then coming on the air. So these guys do everything. When they do things I disagree with, that's fine. You've got an opinion. I've got an opinion. Bubba likes this story. I don't like it. That's what makes the world go round. What makes me upset, and this does not ever happen with Bubba and Cam, but what makes me upset in general is when people do things that just do not make sense. Like, there is no way you can stare me in the face and explain to me why you're doing this, because it is completely disconnected to what you did yesterday. Things that happen that do not run on parallel tracks are the best way to fail. It's a perfect way to fail. It is a perfect way to have long-term failure. And that's what you've got going on with the Raiders, because the decisions they make no sense. It's not that they were wrong. It's that they were senseless. Wrong decisions are something everybody makes. They do things that don't fit together with things they've previously done. Your decisions in life should fit together like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. It doesn't mean that putting it together is easy, but at least the pieces belong together. Like in this case, they've got like one puzzle that's the Statue of Liberty, and they've got another puzzle that's like, you know, a nature scene in North Dakota. And that piece doesn't fit in this piece, in this puzzle. So that's what they've got going on with the Raiders, and that's what a lot of unsuccessful sports franchises have going on. So that's where they are. One more thing I wanted to play for you here before we get to some other business.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
James Harden has now just started to crack me up. I mean, sometimes you just have to laugh. I don't even know what else to say. James Harden, who got unhappy in Houston, so forced his way to Brooklyn, said when he got to Brooklyn he couldn't believe how great it was going to be. Got unhappy there, forced his way out of Brooklyn, went to Philadelphia, said when he got to Philadelphia he couldn't believe how great it was going to be. Got unhappy there, forced his way out of Philadelphia, gets to Los Angeles now, tells us how happy he is, he couldn't wait to get to Los Angeles. And then yesterday in his introductory press conference said this.
I'm a creator on the court, you know what I mean? So if I got a voice to where I can, hey, coach, I see this, you know, what you think about this? Then it's like, oh, okay. Like somebody that trusts me, that believes in me, that understands me, that I'm just not a, you know, I'm not a system player. I am a system, you know what I mean? So somebody that can have that dialogue with me and understand and move forward and figure out and make adjustments on the fly throughout the course of games, that's all I really care about.
That's just a really good example of just not reading the room, and the room is the world. At some point, it's you. Your system doesn't work. We're counting up all the championships that you've won playing as a system. It doesn't work. What you did in Philadelphia last year gave you a chance to work. Joel Embiid led the league in scoring and won the MVP, in large part because you did a good job of handling the distribution of the basketball. It worked. I get it. They didn't pay you when they said they would, and that made you mad. But at some point, it's not Houston and Brooklyn and Philly and now L.A. Now, it's at some point, you've got to look and say, which part of this is me? Which part of this am I getting wrong? And at least outwardly, he doesn't show any sign of getting that at all. When people have a lot of trouble, here's just another little lesson in life, Pubs. When people have a lot of, I don't want to use the word failure, because he certainly hasn't been a failure or anything close to it. But when people struggle, when people consistently come up short of their goals, whenever people have that, the smart ones begin by figuring out what part of it they got wrong. The smart ones don't point the finger. They don't immediately say, well, that guy and that guy and that guy are the reason why I am where I am now. If they knew what I know, I would be in some other place. Because one guy can be wrong, but when every guy has a different view on it than you do, at some point, at least part of it is you. So look at yourself in that and figure it out. We read the quotes to you yesterday when he got to Philly. He couldn't have been more excited to play for Doc Rivers. Then he couldn't have gotten Doc fired fast enough when the season ended. And now he's talking about how he's not a system player, he's a system. How'd you like to be Kawhi Leonard and Paul George hearing that? If James Harden is a system, what is Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard is definitively the best player on that team. James Harden is going to go down with one of the most complicated legacies of any super accomplished player I can think of. I don't even know who he reminds me of. To have put up the numbers he has put up, they're practically unmatched in NBA history. The combination of things he's been able to do are almost unmatched in the history of the sport. And yet to have at least in the area of winning, as little to show for it as he does, that's a unique set of circumstances. All right, Greeny, a reminder, there's a lot of different ways you can hang out with us. Of course, here on your radio station, you can also watch Greeny on the ESPN app. Click on watch, look for hashtag Greeny, and enjoy. You also can listen on the ESPN app or Sirius XM Channel 80, and both hours of our show are available every day wherever you get your podcasts, it is called. Hashtag Greeny. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We come to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. We proceed here on ESPN Radio's network. Carlin versus Joe, which is coast to coast from noon to 3 Eastern. And Joe Fortenbaugh is our man. He is my gambling insider extraordinaire. And he joins me here as he does every Friday on ESPN Radio. Good morning, Joe Fortenbaugh.
Good morning, Mike Greenberg. What a slate. I can't remember the last time we were going to roll through a Sunday with a huge game in the morning like Chiefs-Dolphins, then into Eagles-Cowboys, classic NFC East tilt, and then the night game, which I think is getting overlooked more than any other game between Bills-Bengals. The ramifications from these three games are going to stretch far and wide. So you throw in an in-season NBA tournament, we got plenty of action out there today.
I agree. You know, let me ask you quickly about that, because you know the in-season NBA tournament is a very big deal for the league. They want very badly for this to stand out in the cluttered landscape of the sports universe right now. And I said earlier, I think that will be determined ultimately not by what the court looks like, not by what the uniforms look like, but how the players treat it. If the players treat it like this means something more, then I think the fans will get into it. And if the players don't treat it that way, then I don't think they'll get what they want. When it comes to the gambling element of it, does Vegas view this, the what do we call the sharps? Is that what they are, you guys?
The professionals, the sharps, the wise guys, yeah, any of those will work.
Do they view these games differently as they set their lines and make their decisions?
I think they're all working through the process. Because we've never been through it before, some will look at it and say there's probably opportunity here. You know, the bookmakers have nothing to base this off of. We're all kind of in a wait-and-see mode for how this will play out. So for the individual games, I would say probably not, right? You're going to play these games anyway. Sometimes it's the second half of a back-to-back. Sometimes it's a third game in four nights. That's your traditional handicap. But I think when you're looking at the futures, who's going to win the group? Who's going to win the entire thing? There might be an opportunity there. You know, you're not going to find the Celtics 8-1 necessarily to win the title, but you're going to find them 8-1 to win this. And given the way they flamed out against Miami last year, and given the fact that this is the second year of Joe Mazzulla as the head coach, Porzingis is now in the fold, Drew Holiday is now in the fold, I think that's the type of team that would look at this as an opportunity to prove themselves early. So they're minus 150 to win their group. The Raptors, the Nets, the Bulls, and the Magic are the other teams in that group. I would make that bet, and I'd also play Boston at 8-1 to win the whole thing.
You're amazing. I mean, anytime I ask a question, you got something for me here, and I like it. Quickly, is there any—
Tell my wife that, will you? She does not feel the same way.
I tried to tell her. She told me, no, you're a schmuck, Greeny. I have no idea what you're talking about. here's the other thing I want to ask you about before I get into all the football. I watched Wembanyama last night. I actually watched the tape of it this morning, and I am sold. Whatever questions, whatever cynicism, whatever anything I had, if that kid stays healthy, he's going to be everything they've been telling me he is. What are your thoughts on him, and are there any gambling ramifications that surround him?
I love him. I absolutely love the kid. I'll get to a bet we've been making on the show that burned us last night. But the one thing that stands out to me when it comes to Rookie of the Year, he was the odds-on favorite before the season started. I know Big Perk threw out the idea of him as Defensive Player of the Year at 12-1. I found that intriguing. This year, you have to remember, there's the 65-game threshold for all major awards and the all NBA teams. Mm. So he's got to play 65 games. So imagine him playing 63 games, being the beast that we've seen, but he doesn't qualify because of that arbitrary criteria. That's the thing that worries me. Like, I took a shot on Brandon Miller at 25-1 just because I thought, if Wembanyama rests or maybe he gets hurt, something like that happens, he's not going to be in consideration. So I was making a value play there. I had been betting quietly. This was one of the best bets out there, was shockingly the over on his turnovers. As good as he's been, he's committed a lot of turnovers, and through each of the first four games it had hit, but the bookmakers adjusted it from 1.5 to 2.5. Last night it was 3.5, and he played a very clean game. So it's the first time I got burned. Had to learn the lesson the hard way there.
All right, very good. I like it. Let's get into the NFL stuff for the weekend, which is, of course, what most people are thinking about. Let's start with that Germany game, Miami-Kansas City. Chiefs coming off of a bad performance last week. Tyreek Hill looking for revenge. What are we like in that game?
So the simple thing here, if you're going to go anti-Miami, is to play the narrative of, well, they don't win the big games, right? They lost at Philly. They lost at Buffalo. They can't beat the big teams. They're the schoolyard bully. And I'm one of the people that's been saying that. But from a betting perspective, that's not how we're going to handicap this game. We're going to play the Chiefs, but we're going to play the Chiefs because we're getting a cheap price. And we're getting a cheap price because of what we saw last week. Recency bias, right? People look at that Denver game and they go, yuck, what's wrong with Kansas City losing to Denver? Nothing's wrong with Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes was sick. They had 5 turnovers. It was a road game against a divisional opponent 2 weeks after they had just played that team. Historically, that's a bad spot for the team that wins the first game. So they went out and they had a dud. Now, everything we know about the Chiefs, do they have a lot of duds? No. So is there a good reason why they had a dud here? Yes. And as a result, the bookmakers send this thing out at 2.5 originally. It got bet all the way down to 1.5. I'll play the Chiefs here. I think the defense is the key to the game. The times Miami has run into better defenses, that offense has looked good, but not great. And that offense needs to look great to blow people out. So I'll lean on Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense here. Give me Kansas City -1.5.
All right, the afternoon spot, the best game clearly is the one in Philadelphia. Cowboys have struggled when stepping up in class, but as I keep reminding everybody, Dak Prescott has always played well against the Eagles, who are 7-1 but have looked a little shaky, and the quarterback hasn't looked as good. How do we like this game?
Correct. The Hurts injury is something you got to take into account. And the way they have looked defensively in some of these matchups, they look disinterested. The first half of that Washington game, I mean, Eric Bieniemy in the Super Bowl and then the 2 games against Philly this year has just put that defense through the washer. I still think Philly's the play at -3. Last week, the look-ahead line had the Eagles -3.5. That's a very key line move down to 3. And the main reason for that, twofold. Number one, the Hurts injury. And number two, more importantly, I think, is that Dallas looks so good against the Rams. Well, number one, the Rams had an awful week of practice and Matthew Stafford got injured in that game. Number two, Mike McCarthy has always been good coming off the bye. He's something like 13-3 against the spread, or 13-2-1 off the bye going back to his time at Green Bay. He's not off the bye this week. He's not at home this week. He's not paying the Rams this week. He's playing the Eagles, who, you know what? The Eagles last week, there's an excuse for that game. They were off a huge win against Miami, and they're looking ahead to Dallas. That's what we call the sandwich spot right there. Mm-hmm. Washington took advantage of it but couldn't close the door. I would lay the 3 with Philly, but it's not one of my bigger plays this week.
All right, Greeny, Joe Fortenbaugh is with me here. You mentioned the somewhat overlooked night game. I feel like this is a big game for Buffalo. On the road at Cincinnati, the Bengals have been hot. The Bills have been very up and down, and they're very banged up. These are two teams that have been the two prime contenders to Kansas City, and it feels like one is very much a part of it and the other one has a window closing. What do we like in this game?
The over. This is my favorite bet of the weekend. Over 49.5 points between these two teams. We've seen so many unders in the NFL this weekend. We saw another one on Thursday night last night. It got in by the hook, even with the late drive. That essentially, this is eventually going to regress to the mean. We're going to start seeing an overrun. Some of these games are priced too low. I think this is a classic game that should be priced in the 50s. Last week, I'll get to the narrative off the San Francisco game. Here's what you've got. Joe Burrow is healthy right now. And the offense went to San Francisco last week. They hung 31 on the Niner defense. Burrow completed 86% of his passes. He's at home this week against the Buffalo defense without Tre'Davious White, without Matt Milano. Cincinnati's going to hang a number here. Now, Buffalo's only option is going to be to engage in a shootout. They're not going to be able to run the ball with James Cook. They've struggled running the last few years. That's not going to win this game against Cincinnati. So I think this is just a good old-fashioned firefight between these two quarterbacks. I think it's going to be the best game of the week. I'm going over 49.5, and I'm going to throw two more at you. Joe Burrow is 18-1 to win the MVP. The Bengals were 15-1 to win the AFC last week. They're 10-1 now. Those are futures you should be playing. I jumped on Burrow earlier this week at 20-1 before it moved, but 18-1 is still a great price. The literal definition of value is playing out in front of our very eyes with him. At the beginning of the season, he was hurt. They stunk. Now he's healthy. They're awesome. They've won 4 of 5. They've won 3 straight. I don't know if the voters are going to want to go with Mahomes again this year. Jalen Hurts is up there as one of the favorites, but his numbers and his turnovers are way too high. Burrow and the Bengals have a chance that after beating the Niners can beat the Bills in a standalone Sunday night game. If they do that, that's going to be the narrative Monday morning. And the narrative drives these prices. 18-1 is going to be long gone if Burrow looks good and the Bengals win this game.
I really like that a lot. Joe Fortenbaugh with me here. Do the wide receivers, I've been sort of banging the drum on the TV show in particular, that A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill deserve serious consideration, because you just described something I've tried to talk about for a long time. The letter V in MVP matters, and the value. The year that Tom Brady and the Patriots went 16-0 and Brady won the MVP, I was irate that Randy Moss didn't win the award that year. He was the one who changed everything. Tyreek Hill is the one who's making everything happen for Miami. And A.J. Brown is having one of the great seasons that we've ever seen so far. Do the odds makers believe that either of them have any chance of winning the award?
They're priced respectably for the fact that they are wide receivers, sitting inside the neighborhood of 20-1. I mean, they're ahead of some quarterbacks out there. They're in the Trevor Lawrence range. And Lawrence has been very good this year, and the Jaguars have been very good. So amongst odds makers, they're getting their respect. It's just such an uphill battle because of what you just said, the letter V. If this was most outstanding player, we're having a completely different conversation.
Right.
But most valuable player, the easiest argument is to say, what happens to Kansas City if we take Mahomes off the team? And we all know, if you take Burrow off the Bengals, if you take Allen off the Bills, we've seen time and time again when starting quarterbacks go down and backups step in, the offense just grinds to a halt. I mean, do we not have a case for Aaron Rodgers as MVP this year? Look at what's happening in Green Bay. You yeah. take Rodgers off the Packers, the offense can't score. So I would love to be able to make more of a case. And I think this is why Offensive Player of the Year is now starting to go to wide receivers, because you got to give these guys something for how much of an impact they have on the game.
Greeny and Joe Fortenbaugh, is there a college game you like? We've got college football action tomorrow night. Dion and Colorado hosting Oregon State, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage 9:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Is there a college play you love this week?
There's 3 I'd rip through. Arkansas +4.5 against Florida. I love the spot for Arkansas. Florida just played Georgia, and they got the look ahead to a road game at LSU next week. Wedged in between is Arkansas. 6-game losing streak, but they are off the bye. And there was a 4-game stretch during that losing streak where they played like LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Yeah, you're going to lose those 4 games. I think they're undervalued. We saw a big move on this yesterday. It was +6. It's now down to +4.5. I'd play Arkansas. I'd go over 55.5 in Missouri, Georgia. Georgia's averaging 40 points per game. People keep asking, what's wrong with Georgia? Nothing. They're bored. You've asked them to get up twice this year. They hung 50 on Kentucky and blew them out. They hung 40-plus on Florida and blew them out. Missouri can score. They've scored 30-plus in 6 straight. I would go ahead and play the over 55.5 there. And I'd lay 15.5 with South Carolina over Jacksonville State. South Carolina's had a bad run. 4 straight losses, but against good SEC teams. This is kind of that get-right game. You go out there, you beat up on an inferior opponent, you get your mojo back.
Outstanding. Joe Fortenbaugh again, coast to coast. Top of the hour here with our buddy Chris Carlin. Such a pleasure. Thank you, my man. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Greeny. Have a great weekend.
It's Joe Fortenbaugh. Carlin versus Joe, coast to coast here every day on ESPN Radio. I really enjoy him. Okay, I need to do a little investigation, and we'll start it with this one.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
But I just want you to know that there seem to be spies out there. So, Cam or Bubba, who was it that wrote in here about this anonymous tip?
That was me.
Okay. So, I find this in the Google Doc the other day, and I will tell you I'm quite uncomfortable with it. So, I went to the opening night at Madison Square Garden. Was that last Wednesday? How long ago was that?
It was Wednesday. Yeah, last Wednesday.
10 years ago already. Last week, the Knicks played the Celtics, and Stace and I and my daughter Nikki actually went to the game, and we sat. ESPN Radio in New York has a beautiful suite, a beautiful box that you can sit in and watch the games, where I love to go. And we were there for the game. We watched the Knicks and Celtics. Terrific game. Celtics wound up winning it at the end, but it was a great game. And I was excited because two of the Jets' young stars were in the box watching the game with us. One of them, the extraordinary young wide receiver Garrett Wilson, and the other, the young safety Jordan Whitehead, who is perhaps best known for having three interceptions week one against Josh Allen. So I was excited to meet them both, chat with them both. That was all very nice, blah, blah, blah. Now I come in here, and Cam, what is it you have written down in my Google Doc?
Yes, we were told that, you know, there were other people there. And we were told that your conversation...
No, we were told. Use the verbiage that you used in the document.
We received an anonymous tip.
An anonymous tip. Go ahead.
That Greeny told Garrett Wilson last week at the Knicks team that he was the Jets' best wide receiver since Al Toon. Is that true?
It probably is true. But I want to know where from where we received this anonymous tip... That is anonymously tipping my conversations.
Yeah, I got spies, eyes and ears everywhere, Greeny.
Bubba, I'm not comfortable with this. So I'm chatting with Garrett.
Yeah.
Let me take you through what happened. So Garrett Wilson is there, and I'm with, you know, with my family. And I don't want to bother. I'm not going to go over and, you know, accost him. He's there watching a basketball game. Such a nice-looking kid. So friendly, nice, polite to everybody. Taking pictures with everybody in the box. They put him up on the, you know, on the screen. All that kind of stuff. And he's waving at the crowd. So I'm not going to go bother him as a dopey Jet fan. So then they ask several of us to go take a picture. The two Jets. And I was there. Michael Kay was there. Bart Scott was there. I forget who else, Peter Rosenberg, a bunch of people who work for the radio station and others were there. And so they asked us all to get up and go take a picture. So I go over, and of course he's standing there. So I say, Garrett, how are you? I introduce myself. You know, he watches Get Up. He's excited, whatever. We're chatting for a couple of minutes. And I'm just telling him how much I appreciate how great he is. So I tell him the story about how Orlovsky told me on the flight to Vegas, we're on our way to Las Vegas to do the NFL draft. So it's me, Dan Orlovsky, and Peter Schrager happened to be seated all next to each other on the plane to Vegas, you know, 2 days before that year's draft. So not knowing who's going to take who, Orlovsky says, the best player in this draft is Garrett Wilson, the receiver from Ohio State.
Wow.
So, you know, I make a little note, a mental note. And then when the Jets take him, I'm elated, and I come back to Dan on that all the time. So I mentioned that to Garrett, and, you know, he and I had a nice little chat about it. And I said, you know, I've got to tell you, I've been a fan of the team my whole life. And so I sort of recounted the great receivers we've had, of which there are very few. Now, I would say Garrett Wilson is already a better player than Al Toon. Al Toon had a really unfortunate career. Al Toon, the Jets drafted ahead of Jerry Rice. The Jets took Al Toon in the same draft that Jerry Rice was later drafted. My father went to his grave saying that if Al Toon had been drafted by the 49ers, that he would have been the greatest receiver ever. He was tall. Al Toon had to be like 6'4". He was really tall, rail thin, unbelievably good player. But because the Jets were so bad and the quarterback play was so bad, he got hit in the head. He had like concussion issues long before that was a thing. Before anyone even knew what concussion issues were, he did. And so his career was prematurely cut short. He was a very, very good player, and I think would have been a very good player. Prior to him, I forget the order now, he actually would have been before Keyshawn, right? He's older than Keyshawn. So we had Keyshawn. We had Wesley. In my childhood, we had Wesley Walker, who was a great player, was blind in one eye. And, of course, we had Don Maynard, who was a Hall of Famer. So you have to say Maynard is the best receiver we've ever had because he's the only one who's in the Hall of Fame. I think Garrett Wilson is going to be the best one. And so I think I had some variation on that conversation with him. And what I want to know, Cam, is who is
Cam
giving you anonymous tips about my conversation with Garrett? Because I know Garrett didn't call you. Here's what didn't happen.
I don't know.
Garrett Wilson did not text Cameron Pratt.
How do we know?
Actually, someone I met in the box did say they were a friend of yours.
Oh, whoa,
someone you went to college with, yes. I want to say.
Yes.
Well, that sounds, now I'm remembering this.
That sounds like that could be the source.
Oh, I think we've cracked this case.
There you
well
go.
Done. Well done, Sherlock.
I'm Mariska Hargitay putting together the evidence here. There's a kid. I want to say he's got red hair. Do I have this right?
Yeah, his name's Jake Asman.
He
hosts on ESPN New York, and he's hosting for the first time on ESPN National this weekend. He texted me. He made it seem like the only thing you said to Garrett Wilson was that he was the best wide receiver since Al Toon. I guess there was more to it.
Oh, it was a lengthy conversation.
That is the story I got from Jake. He also said your wife Stacy is the nicest person ever.
Well, listen, I will say this about Jake Asman. I don't think that is how his name is spelled, right? We talked, we chatted, nice guy.
There's one S.
There's only one S, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Cosmo Kramer, I mean, it has
right.
to be
He's
said.
Not in the proctologist's office.
The Fusilli Jerry, I mean, you can't not say that. So he gave me up. He's giving anonymous tips. Now I put it together.
Yeah, he went right to Cam. I mean, right away.
Right to Cam.
I don't know what that's about.
No, so I prompted him. I texted him like, oh, so cool to see you with all those guys. How was it? Talked for a little bit. And then he said, I have to tell you, Greeny told Garrett
Wilson.
You don't
have to tell him anything.
We have a mutual colleague in Greeny. He told Garrett Wilson that he's the greatest wide receiver since Al Toon.
Well, I think he's actually better than Al Toon, but that's a whole other thing.
All I'm getting out of this now is if I'm ever around Jake, don't say anything.
That's right. I'm keeping my mouth shut around
Jake
the
Ass
Man.
He's going to tell Cam, or he's going to tell, you know, don't say anything around the Ass Man.
Does Garrett Wilson know who Al Toon is?
I have no idea if he knows who Al Toon is. Al Toon's son wound up playing wide receiver, I think, in the NFL, too. So who knows? I don't know if he knows who Al Toon is or not. I'm merely telling him something. It's the history of his own franchise. He should know. All right, this is Greeny coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. Who you got is next, ESPN Radio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
It's a big deal and a very emotional day for a lot of people, those of us who love the Beatles as much as we love anything in the world. Yesterday, they released a new Beatles song, which genuinely is a new Beatles song and the last Beatles song. And actually, before I get to who you got, for anyone who doesn't know the story of this, because Bubba, when it first came out, what we heard was there's going to be an AI, like artificial intelligence is somehow creating a Beatles song.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But that isn't really what happened.
Right. It's way better than that.
What happened was they found a recording that John Lennon had done at some point after the Beatles had broken up, but obviously before he died, that he recorded by himself on a piano. And they were able to use artificial intelligence to remove the piano. From my understanding, that's all they did. And then the rest of them got together. So George Harrison plays on it. Paul McCartney plays on it. Ringo Starr plays on it. The song is called Now and Then. It was released yesterday. There's a 12-minute documentary about it that is coming out, I want to say, next week or something like that. And this is like it's like a miracle befalling us. It's like, you know, I don't even know, Michael Jordan coming back and playing again. It's something that you thought you had seen or heard, in this case, for the last time coming back. It is a wonderful treat, and I am just thrilled, and I am looking forward to spending a lot of this weekend listening to it and thinking a lot about it. I actually got emotional reading this interview that Paul McCartney did. He said it was like John was back in the room. They play the vocals, and suddenly there he is. John Lennon is back with them. So the four of them are on it. This is a Beatles song released in 2023. It does not get any better than that.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Who you got?
All right, Bubba's turn. Got a bunch of questions. Let's get as many as we can in. Let's do it.
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Grainger. And unfortunately for you, we do have to start with the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge. And right now, Carlin versus Joe and Game Night are tied for first place, 17-6-1. And you are last place by yourself, 7-16-1. You did have a pretty good week last week, 1-1-1. So let's see how you do this week.
1-1-1.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of your better weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Dolphins Chiefs in Germany, as we've been talking about. Kansas City -1.5. Who you got here?
Okay. I have to believe that Andy knows how to do this. The Dolphins got there 5 days ago. The Chiefs just got there this morning. I hate that for the Chiefs. I think you are better off having more time acclimating. But Andy is 2-0 in these international games. They're coming off a bad week. I can't see them having another clunker here. I like the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs, and I will give the points. That is my official pick. Next.
All right, another big game. Seahawks at Ravens. This one we got Baltimore -6. Who you got here?
You know what? I'm going to take the points. Graziano's covering that game, and he told me that Pete Carroll has an unbelievable record bringing that team east and playing in the early spot. That's usually such a disadvantage, but Carroll has played really well. His Seahawks teams have played really well in the 1 o'clock Eastern spot, which usually West Coast teams do not. 6 is a lot of points. I will take Seattle and give me the points.
All right, and the biggest game of the weekend, of course, Cowboys at Eagles. This one, Philadelphia -3. Who you got?
Boy, that's a tough one. Tough one to pick. Here's where I'm going to go with my logic. Everyone on my set yesterday took Philadelphia.
Yep, I saw that. Love to see it.
Today it was split. We had some more people who liked Dallas. Graziano liked Dallas. I think Ryan Clark liked Dallas. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I'm going to go Oppo. If everyone thinks something is going to happen, it never does. So give me the Cowboys and give me the points in Philly tomorrow.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, those are the picks. Let's do as many other questions as we can.
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. And last week, we missed National Greasy Foods Day, so we got to know who you got as your favorite greasy food.
It's easy. This one isn't even close. I cannot pass up buffalo wings. Good buffalo wings, the smell of them makes my mouth start to water. I am Pavlov's dog when good wings come. If you order wings that aren't buffalo wings, like not, I hear people say, well, I'll take the barbecue or the honey lemon. What are we doing here, people? That's not what wings were meant to be. Wings are spicy buffalo wings. I love them. That is by far my favorite greasy food.
And of course, that's wings with a fork.
With a fork and knife, yes,
right.
Of course. Well, you don't want to get that on your fingers.
Right.
You just eat that with a fork and knife.
It's obviously, fabulous. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Last week was also National Pasta Day, so who you got as your favorite pasta?
See, I didn't really understand that question. Does it mean my favorite noodle? Like specifically, I mean, do I like linguine better
Correct.
Than I like
fettuccine? Yeah, we got to zero in on what was your specific one, yeah.
Okay, so not my favorite style of preparing pasta. But
I mean, we can go either one. I mean,
I like
possibilities are endless on this question.
Okay, so I do something you probably are not supposed to do.
Oh,
I
think, look out for this bad boy.
I think true Italian, true consumers of Italian cuisine will not like this. But I like the long noodle, a spaghetti, a linguine, or something like that. Angel hair.
I love angel hair.
And I cut it up with a knife. So instead of spinning it in the spoon, which is what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to take the spoon, you take the fork, and you twirl it.
Yep, the twirl.
I do what you're not supposed to do, but it's easier. I cut it all up. I cut it into little pieces, and then I eat it with the fork almost like it's a soup, and I love it. So that is what I like, the long, like the linguine, spaghetti, angel hair kind of pasta, and I eat it wrong. All right, one more.
All right, today is National Sandwich Day. If you could only eat one sandwich for the rest of your life, who you got?
Boy, there was a theme here, wasn't there? Look, I mean, I think I'm going to have to, look, again, it's I couldn't eat this for the rest of my life because it's incredibly unhealthy, but the sandwich that is another one where my mouth waters, a true Chicago Italian beef that you would get like at Mr. Beef. People talk about that show, The Bear, now. That's what they're making on that TV show. Back when I was young, I had that for lunch every day. Every day, dipped with the jardiniere on it. My mouth is watering now. Now I'm 56 years old. I can't eat that anymore.
By the way, I just got to say this real quick. It was 2 years ago to this day where I asked this question to Chris Carlin and Harry Douglas. Harry said he's never had a meatball sandwich. He has still not had one, and I'm sick of this guy.
Have a meatball sandwich.
I'm tired of him ducking a meatball sandwich. It's National Sandwich Day. Have a meatball sandwich. What is the problem? 5 seconds.
I'm with that. Okay. And on that note, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.